to episode 69 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and once again, co-hosting this week with me in place of Tom is Jay Kluett of the Deep Blue Sea podcast. Welcome back, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
All right. And our guest this week, Don Wistons, the author of The Great Escape Location website. Welcome back, Don.
Thank you.
This minute begins with Mac saying no go, and goes all the way until Hiltz calls for Roger. He calls Roger and Mac crazy for thinking of such a plan. Again, we continue the conversation from yesterday, where they're still trying to find a way to get Hiltz to tell them what's 500 yards behind those trees. He basically says, Mac first says that we've tried all the goons and nobody's willing to tell us anything. So that's also a strange thing, because, you know, as Henley is supposedly this amazing scrounger who, as we discussed earlier this week, has been able to get lots and lots and lots of fabrics, he can't find out where what's nearby. Werner's not going to give him a little bit of information. He's not going to, you know, smoke a cigarette with him and say, you know, how far is it to the train station from here, or whatever it is that he might be trying to find.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it yesterday. Like, this is got to be tricky information to wheedle out of somebody, because you could bring up, like, oh, how did you get here? How's your train ride? But they probably, I imagine the guards sleep on site. They probably have kind of guards' quarters in the camp somewhere.
As we know, when he gets Werner's wallet, so we see that Werner has a ticket to a place that's, I think, about 500 miles away, a one-way ticket. So, my assumption is, as you said, you're right. I mean, the guards are sleeping there.
Yeah.
They still, you know, they have leave. They get to go visit their families. If they send them to the Russian front, they need to know how to get there also. You know.
Yep, true. Yeah. I can for something that's difficult to find out, I can see this as being tricky.
Yeah. That's true. You know, Roger continues by saying that we need to know the exact position of the local town.
Yeah, the main roads, police station, military roadblocks.
Exactly.
How to get to the railway station. Yeah.
Right. Well, the roadblocks is an interesting thing to ask about, because that's something that you think would be changing daily, if not hourly.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not, okay, where's the regular roadblock on Route 46, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe that's more of a... That might not just be about locations. It could be like the types of roadblocks they have nearby. Because if it's, I have no knowledge of what kind of roadblocks they could be, but if there are different variations, if they're more heavily armored ones or ones that are easier to get around, then that's useful information to know the types of things they'd be up against, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. Now, did you notice that Roger keeps pointing at every single thing that he mentions? Richard Ambaro, you know, at every single thing that he mentions, he points and points and points and points. I think I counted that he pointed 6 times throughout, you know, just by saying what he needs to get, you know.
Yeah, on a like an imaginary map, because he moves his finger as well, because like the roadmap, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Roger continues by saying, well, when we get through the wire, oh, sorry, that's what Hilt says. When I get through the wire, I'm not going to be sitting there making maps for you guys, and I'm going to be so far away, you won't even hear me if they're shooting at me with howitzers. First of all, that's pretty cocky, you know. As we discussed yesterday, I mean, they're in the middle of Poland, you know. He's got a nice long journey to go to try to get to Switzerland, which is obviously what's in his plan. He's pretty methodical. He knows what he wants. He's like, all right, I'm gonna get to Switzerland somehow. Hopefully with a motorcycle. I mean, the script also discusses a certain point. Not here. It's in a different scene that was cut out of the movie, where he talks with a Nazi motorcycle driver about his motorcycle and tries to one up him about you know, that he has a better motorcycle. I can sort of understand why it was in the script in the first place, but I can also understand why they cut it.
So, I looked up howitzers, how far away you can hear a howitzer, and apparently it's about 180 miles. So, That's well within Poland still.
Yes.
But I did two routes of this, because my initial research of trying to find out how loud a howitzer is, how far we can hear it, I got nothing apart from how loud a howitzer is, which is about 171 decibels. That's if you're standing next to it, which in comparison, a jet engine taking off is 150 decibels.
Wow.
So I looked up how far away you can hear 171 decibels, and it relies a lot on the surrounding area. Like if you're in a vacuum, well, but sound can travel in it. So if there's nothing, if there's no other sound at all in the world, you can hear 171 decibels, 5,500 miles away.
Apparently. Apparently.
I don't think anyone's ever tried that. It's a website called Omni Calculator. I don't know how reliable it is, but that's a long old way. That's how far away from Steiglitz? That's Tokyo.
Wow.
So yeah, I don't think this is accurate, but that 180 miles, that's still well within Poland, but I think that'll be good if he can get that far away overnight.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Yeah, you know, and he mentioned the fact that he wants to get the routes to the railway station, but I mean, they're going to have 250 prisoners all, you know, clumped together trying to get to the same, you know, same station all at once. I mean, obviously everyone needs to go different directions. They're not all going to go the same place.
That's true. Are they expecting him to go out, escape one way, come back, go another way, come back and go another way?
Well, he is that talented.
He is, yeah. He
or maybe the idea is go out one way, do a quick survey of the area all around, you know, do a 360, and then, you know, quickly turn yourself in.
But then he's got to be in the cooler each time.
No, you do it once. You go out once, do a 360.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then...
ideally, they want to have like 8 people escaping and going in different directions. That would be it.
Yeah, but when you have 8 going out, the chances are that you know, some of them are going to get shot. And then
I'm not saying they should have done this. I'm saying ideally.
No, but you got Hiltz. He's not going to get shot. So
yes, Stephen Queen. That's not what happens.
Exactly. He basically says you're not going to be able to make me do it. But you get an interesting idea. I mean, how many are you actually trying to get out? So they finally tell him that they're going for a whole 250. Now, I
250.
Yeah.
my favorite line of the film is, "You're crazy, you ought to be locked up." You too. I just love that they're in prison. They've been locked up. There is no even nod to. I love that line.
No, but it says something about his mindset that he doesn't feel that he's locked up. You know, in his mind, he's free, because he's able to, you know, get out and, you know, spend all the time in the cooler.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Although I feel like he probably feels he's more locked up now than when he's in the cooler. As you say, the cooler is his bunk, is where he sleeps.
That's true.
But
he's got his own room.
This is only temporary. This is only a phase for him. He knows he's not going to be incarcerated for that much longer. He'll be out soon. But yeah, he doesn't feel locked up. He just feels like this is a momentary setback, and then he's off on his way.
Yeah. So, Don, what other locations have you visited?
Well, in linking to the train station, just south of the Bavaria Studios, is, if I can pronounce it, Geidenstaden. But it was supposed to be Neustrasz, which must be in Poland. So the location was about a mile away, and it's now derelict. So I've been there, and what you see in the film is what you'll see in its dereliction. Everything is taken away. It's interesting that Steve McQueen actually is there in a shot, just seeing how the film is going on, because that's where all the characters meet, don't they? James Coburn, Donald Pleasant, Richard Attenborough. And the others.
Yeah, but Hiltz isn't there at the train station.
Hiltz is not obviously there because he's in the cooler. But Steve McQueen was actually on site watching the filming going on. But again, it's a location that you worked out where it was to the process of how you do filming. You can't be 100 miles away to do that scene.
Right.
It had to be somewhere, and so it was discovered. And it was a sort of wow experience to come across it. Let's say, any of your listeners that go there, it still exists in format, in buildings. It's just that the railway furniture has disappeared, and the trains still go through, But it's interesting that the iconic image that we have of that part of the film, it can still be located in 2021.
Wow. Okay, now when you went to go visit all these places, I mean, you mentioned that you did it during your summer break or whatever, but how much time was the trip each time? I mean, did you do it for, was it a week trip, a 2 week trip, a month? I mean, how much time did you and the whole group spend?
My teaching background is, I have a teaching background, which means I have holidays in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would take a week. So I would fly, for 5 years, from 2012 to 2017, I drove the first year with friends and then flew the rest of the years. And I went down for a week. So if there was a scene I wanted to locate, I'd specifically go to that area and try and find it. And the money shot one is the hay bale scene. And the hay bale scene is where Donald Pleasant and James Garner jump off the train and roll down the embankment,
mm-hmm.
and then hop up behind a hay bale.
Yes.
And the only clue you can get is that that church belongs to Market Swarthen, which is where James Coburn stole the bike. And then I found a poster, or online, and when you opened up the poster, it was a sort of multi-scene of a hay bale, but also two Germans with Steve McQueen from when Ives climbed the fence in the camp and was shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Hilch trying to do something, didn't he? And the Germans kick him or put him to ground or whatever.
Yeah, one of them jabs him in the stomach with
his gun. There's a poster out there, Rob, that has this scene. And when you look at the skyline beyond to the left of the hay bale, there's a hexagonal building. And so one located that hexagonal building to be in Market Swarthen. So the hay bale scene was filmed in a field near Market Swarthen. So, yes, over a period of 5 years, those really rare locations I've discovered. The other one was where the plane crashed with Donald Pleasant and James Coburn.
James Garner.
They were sworn. James Garner. They were sworn to secrecy. Nobody was to know where that location was. And word of mouth, we were told about it. So on the way back to Munich to fly home, we found this this location where Donald Pleasant gets shot as he comes out the aeroplane, and James Garner sort of cuddles him, and then the soldiers arrive, and then there's a sort of iconic church in the mm-hmm. background. So that was, I'd say that was one of the last locations that I found. So over a 5 year period, having found them all, I go back to Germany to meet the people that I met over those 5 year period. And at the same time, walk the walk, because Fusen, Fronten are very pleasant areas. And there's just a sense of place about it because McQueen walked the walk. And it's my interest in Steve McQueen that takes me back to that area. And if I can find any anomaly locations, you know, that's an additional thing. But I would say I've found all of them.
How many locations have you found in total?
Well, as you go through this podcast, I would say everyone that you highlight, really. I don't know. I mean, whatever location you see in that film, I've stood there.
Wow, that's really good. That's great. Do either of you have anything else to say about this minute? Jay?
No. I just, this is some of Steve McQueen's best work in a minute. Just the exasperation of the 250. I love it all. The 250 guys just walking down the road. He's having a lot of fun. He's fun to watch. This could be a very, very kind of dry scene of just these three guys sat or stood around a table. But I love the emotion in it, the entertainment value of everything. Again, this is mostly, there's a lot of like single takes in here of him just moving around the room, which I like. Everyone's doing great work here. It's just fun to watch.
Great.
It's just fun to watch.
So, Don, do you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
If you go to my website, www.thegreatescapelocations.com, I have my email address there, and if you write to me, email me, I'll respond.
All right, great. And Jay, how can people get in touch with you?
You can follow me on Twitter at LifeVSFilm, or on Instagram at Jay Cluett, that's JayCluitt. Or again, Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, we're covering Deep Blue Sea chapter by chapter.
Excellent. And to get in touch with us, you can visit our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. You can visit us on Twitter, Great Escape MXM. Our Facebook group is The Cooler. And our email address is thegreatminute@gmail.com. Till tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.